Good afternoon, everyone.
I'm Marjorie Pabst, the host of Caregiver and Physician Conversations, brought to you by eCareDiary.com. I'm a speaker, facilitator, and co-author of Enrich Your Caregiving Journey, and I write a feature called Ask the Caregiving Coach. You can access this feature on my website at www.pivotalcrossings.com. Joining me today, and I'm so excited to have her here with us, is Dr. Maria Gonzalez, Assistant Director of Family Medicine and Geriatrics at Florida Hospital. Dr. Gonzalez also serves as a Chief Medical Educator for physicians completing their residencies, so she has great impact on the quality of tomorrow's physicians. Dr. Gonzalez's work focuses on the challenges and issues for multicultural patients and their caregivers. The purpose of our show is to provide practical information and tips for both family and professional caregivers, particularly when it comes to having a meaningful and collaborative conversation for patient healing. We also seek to develop ideas that will bridge the gap between family caregivers and medical professionals, particularly when attending to emotional and spiritual needs. Today's show will focus on the needs of multicultural patients and how caregivers and families can meet the challenges and needs in those meaningful conversations. We will open up the phone lines later, so please give us a call at 347-857-3399. Dr. Gonzalez, welcome. Would you give our listeners an overview of why those challenges and issues exist in the multicultural community?
First, thank you very much for having me here in the program, Marjorie. And yes, those challenges exist because our medical system is a system that values and puts in the forefront the patient autonomy. What I mean by that is that in our system is very highly valued the individual opinion of the patient by him or herself. In most other cultures, the medical system encouraged the involvement of caregivers or the extended families, making them a more holistic system. So when a caregiver and a patient, for example, belonging to a Hispanic cultural background, come to us, sometimes they report in a normal manner that the system makes them feel inappropriate, maybe isolated. And we, as healthcare providers, we need to try to break in and being able to think outside the box and try to address the issues of the patient and the caregiver so that we can provide them with the best possible care and address their truly, truly needs.
Great. That's fascinating. And I know there are listeners out there that are really shaking their heads and saying, absolutely, I understand you, Dr. Gonzalez. So, Dr. Gonzalez, how do you bridge this gap in your practice? What are some of the first things you do when meeting a patient and their family for the first time?
It's extremely important to, again, to think outside the box. And the first thing that we need to understand is that a patient is not a patient by him or herself anymore. Is a patient and a caregiver, and this is what we know as the dyad of the patient and caregiver. This is like a combination of 1, 2, 3, 4, 5 people who actually function as a unit. And this group of people will be around the patient, and that's the group that you actually need to address different issues that they may be facing in the whole process of delivering healthcare and addressing their potential needs. What other things that we can do, and it has nothing to do with language, is actually to see the nonverbal cues, the body language, if the caregiver is facing during the office visit or during the conversation when we see patients at their homes. We try to take a look at eye contact. We try to take a look even the way that they are dressing or how they are taking care of themselves during the time that we interview and go and examine a patient.
Very interesting. So you look at the body language before even listening to the words. What an instructive thing, I think, for all of us, but particularly in the multicultural community. So, Dr. Gonzalez, you mentioned that looking at the family as a whole, as a caregiver-patient dyad, but then with this extension of other family members in this unit. Let me ask you, one of the big issues in healthcare, of course, is patient privacy. Some in the medical and other communities know it as HIPAA. So in working with patients and caregivers and their families, how do you deal with these privacy issues? Tell us what the process you go through.
When I have this kind of issue, first you make an initial contact with the patient and you say your hellos and introduce yourself. Then I honestly, after I introduce myself, I proceed to disclose that I will be discussing about very private information about my patient, and I ask if by all means possible, and I'm saying that because there are many patients out there with Alzheimer's dementia, but I try to ask to the patient first if it's possible for me to discuss personal healthcare-related information with all the presence in the room, or if there's someone in particular that he or she wants me to discuss private healthcare-related issues. If I cannot get that response from my patient, then I will proceed to get the person who is in charge of the medical decision maker for that particular individual, and I will proceed then to ask permission from that individual to conduct my group session, if I should say it in that way.
That's very interesting. I'm assuming that you have people sign some permission form as well in this process?
Yes, we take those permissions before the actual patient encounter takes place.
And my guess is that for the most part, most people are very willing to go along and understand that because of the culture that they come from, that they're very willing to share the information. Is that assumption correct?
And not only because of cultural background, but also due to issues of health literacy. I mean, some people, I'm proud to be a physician who cares for older adults. I'm a geriatrician. And for the most part, what I find in my population of older adults is that they want someone who can double-check the information for them, making sure that the instructions, the follow-up, the appointments can be followed through, just because they feel that they cannot handle and the juggles of the healthcare system are very difficult for them to take by themselves.
Yes, 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 exactly. Well, you know, when I first met Dr. Gonzalez, I saw from my very eyes the multiple examples that she meets every day. And so I would really love for you to share with our listeners some specific examples of things you meet every day. Give our listeners an example of some of the daily things that happen.
Well, we see patients of different cultural backgrounds. I belong to the Hispanic community. I'm a Latina doctor. And I had a very interesting case of a Cuban patient who could have been potentially facing a life-threatening diagnosis, cancer. And this lady, she was completely aware of that situation. And she told me, "Doctor, if I have cancer, please don't let me know. Call my son. I don't want to deal with that." And we completely respected that, and we communicated all the information in that regard directly to the patient's son per her request, because those were her wishes. It's very important for us to address the wishes of my particular patient. If the patient is able to let me know what are her wishes or his wishes during the circumstances.
Very, very, very interesting. Give us another example.
Well, we also have the case of an Italian family dealing with an Asian parent with dementia, a patient now that is unable to make decisions of any kind by himself due to his Alzheimer's, and how I need to deal with the children like a unit and dealing with their issues in particular as an individual, trying to put then these three children unit together to make healthcare decisions for his aging parent, knowing that for the most part, the children, and that is now a very well term, belonging to the sandwich generation, they have to care for dad or mom, and they have to care for children that are probably in college and dealing with a complete different set of issues, and them also dealing with their own problems and mean members of the workforce. And it's extremely stressful, that kind of situation.
Yes. When you meet a family like this for the first time, back to your body language example, do you kind of size up, try to get a sense of the relationships among the family members before you even begin to say some things to them?
And here I go again with the body language. People pacing in the room without speaking any language. You can recognize when patients or family members are sad or are upset or just got into your office running because they were running late for whatever reason. You can see that. You can even see when you take the patient's pulse or the blood pressure. When they appear to be agreeing with their faces, but you see just like a big scare in their faces. So they are saying yes, but they are actually very afraid or scared.
Yes, and I've observed Dr. Gonzalez working with medical students who and helping them see that you've got to listen and watch, and then compare the two. And I find that to be perhaps one of the most key learnings for working with multicultural communities, is always comparing that I'm listening and I'm watching, and do they mesh or do they disagree with one another? Very, very interesting. Well, thank you so much for those examples. I'd like to mention to our listeners before we open the phone lines that the multicultural needs of other Americans, we're very cognizant of those, such as our African-American community, our Asian communities, and many others. And before this show, Dr. Gonzalez and I spoke about the needs of these groups. And we decided that we just don't have time today to devote to the specificity of the many needs of these other cultures and languages. So we're thinking that probably there will be other programs that will deal with this topic and other groups. The specific cultural and language issues are often quite different from the examples that even Dr. Gonzalez gave us today. So we're looking forward to those programs. Well, we want to open the phone lines. Again, I'd like to remind you all, the number is 347-857-3399, and I'd like to ask, are there any callers out there? Hello? Are there any callers out there? Okay. Well, what we will do then is prior to this show and our advertisement for this show, we got several responses online of questions that people have. And so I'd like to ask Dr. Gonzalez some of those questions. The first one that's come in is, how do you get confirmation from a person from another culture that they really, really understand you?
It's very important for you to get feedback. You can give a full set of instructions to patients. You can go and write the instructions for your patients. But one of the things that I think that is the safest way to do this is to ask the patient to tell you in his or her own words what you just have told him or her, what instructions, how they are going to follow up, blood work, if you have made any discussions about advanced directives, what has been said at that point in time. And from there, you can then explain if any points have not been clearly well understood, or just be completely reassured that your patient has understood the instructions that you were given to him or her.
Very interesting. So in the case of like medications, get them to tell you back what it is that they're going to do with each bottle or each pill, and explain it back in the even the time frames and what I'm going to eat with this. So you'd ask, so what are you going to eat with when you take that pill? Oh, okay, I have to eat, and I'll probably eat something like this, and then you can come back and confirm.
Oh, what do you take this medication for? Sometimes they understand that they are taking a medication for an X medical condition, but you are meaning to give it for Y medical condition.
Oh, yes. I hadn't even thought of that aspect of it. What am I taking it for anyway? Oh, okay.
The medical students, sometimes they have in their pockets the Sharpie pen, so we can write for blood pressure or for memory loss or for cholesterol in the bottle, so they know.
Yes, very, very good, very good. Well, I know, and I'm really so proud to meet you because I know you have the great influence on new physicians, on medical students, as I mentioned at the top of the show. What would you say is the biggest challenge for new physicians? What seems to be the biggest surprise for them when they come and work with you, Dr. Gonzalez?
One of the things that I have noticed is that they understand that everything in the healthcare system has to be high-tech and very fancy. And sometimes the low-tech, all technology approaches tend to be more useful for our population of older people. Sometimes those approaches that we have been neglecting for years because they are out of shape tend to be more resourceful and useful with those patients. They have been in medical school learning about all these procedures and all those diseases. And here I am saying that probably the more simple is better in caring for those patients.
How interesting is that? You know, you're saying that reminded me, I grew up in a little farm town in Illinois, and we had one doctor in town. And he would come to the house, and that whole intimate relationship of going to see the doctor, and he would give you a sucker at the end of the doctor's visit. And I think now I'm at enough of an age to say, you know, boy, wouldn't it be great to have those days back? So my guess is a lot, like you're saying, a lot of your older patients really benefit from something low-tech, something sort of soft and more nostalgic of something they've been used to when they were younger.
Other things that are particularly challenging to the generation of other doctors, and it was still is very challenging to me, is to see how sometimes one of the best healthcare system in the world, our American healthcare system, is so broken and fragmented that for older people it's so difficult to juggle. But when you explain to a younger generation, one of those medical students, they found that, indeed it's very difficult to juggle, even being young, healthy, and very smart as they are.
Yeah, very, very interesting. Well, we also have another question that has come in from Esty Beinstock. She is the executive director of All Point Home Healthcare. And her question is an intriguing one, and I'm anxious to hear what you think about this. Her question is this. She says, allowing a stranger in your home or to come and care for your loved one is really difficult for any family, but it would seem almost impossible for families with cultural differences, a multicultural family, letting a stranger in the house. What are some of your suggestions for families and caregivers in these instances?
It's very important to involve also the person, most likely a physician or a nurse practitioner, is going to open up that relationship for the home health agency and the patient and the caregiver. So it's very important for the healthcare provider to let them know that a stranger is indeed going to show up and start to ask very private information, and most likely part of the discussion or even in more in-depth discussion is going to be taking place at the patient's home. Regardless of the cultural background, with some exceptions I have to admit, it's very important eye contact, explain what you are doing, why you are there, and the nonverbal communication, making sure that that person from the home health agency presents him or herself like a warm personality that is there not only to provide a service, but as a human being that is going to help an individual to improve in functional status.
Great advice. Thank you. Thank you so much. That's really great. Thank you. Well, finally, you know, you and I have talked a lot about language and body language, and I know that you just hate the word fine, especially because in our American culture, that seems to be a typical thing that people say when you say, well, how are you doing today? Oh, fine. I'm fine. And you've mentioned that you see it as a red flag. So tell our listeners about that fine is a red flag.
What I mean by that is that sometimes patients, their families, they just said that they are fine just to be polite. They don't want to involve you in situations that may be very bothersome and will have an impact in the healthcare situation. But sometimes they don't want to share that particular information just because they don't want to drag the doctor into whatever situation they are facing. And fine, how do you do? You need to inquire with more specific questions. How is your caregiver doing? How bothersome is to care for a particular aging parent, uncle, grandparent? Are they coping well? Are we addressing the true needs? We have many instances when we believe that the caregiver doesn't care. And when you just take a couple of minutes further, you realize that the caregiver is just so burned out because the caregiver has put his or her own life on hold to care for this particular individual. And that is affecting the caregiver significantly, but they don't want to tell you, because they don't want to give you a sign of weakness or that I don't care about my loved one.
Yes, yes, and that is such a common thing. I've noted that myself. I write about it in the book, about the proud inconsolability of caregivers. They don't want to admit that. And so it's tough in any culture to get through to that caregiver. But you're a great example of how to do that. And I thank you so much for that. Well, I want to thank people who sent in questions ahead of time, and we really appreciate that. A very special thank you to Dr. Maria Gonzalez for sharing her insights and expertise today. Very interesting in a paper called Aging Today, put out by Aging in America. There's an interesting article in the January and February issue on the fact that America is not ready for the Latino age wave, and that our culture and our system is going to need to do quite a bit of work to catch up to be able to meet the needs of this population, which I believe the news said the other day is approaching 50 million here in our country. Dr. Gonzalez is at the forefront of that effort, and we certainly appreciate her coming today. I'd also like to thank all of you for tuning in, and I want to invite you next month for Caregiver and Physician Conversations. We'll be coming to you on Tuesday, April 26th at 2 p.m. Eastern Daylight Time, when I will be interviewing Edward Lee. Edward Lee is the founder and a director of the Center for Healthcare Communication. You can also find out more about my book, Enrich Your Caregiving Journey, by going to the ecarediary.com homepage. Tune in to eCare Diaries' regularly scheduled show, Empowering Caregivers, every Tuesday at 2 p.m. Eastern Daylight Time. Next week, April 5th, Susan Bida will be interviewing Barbara London, the Senior Vice President of Freedom Health Elder Care, which is a private home health and geriatric care management firm. And be sure to listen to our next caregiver and physician conversation on April 26th. Again, we thank you all. We hope you're meeting your needs, and we encourage your feedback. Thank you again. Bye.